Christ.
Father God, we overwhelmingly have been touched by the Holy Spirit today. The revelation of who you are is being exploded in our hearts. That we recognize today who God is. He is our Lord and our Savior, the one and true God. No other God comes before you. And there are many in this world, but there's only one, and that's you. We stand here in amazement of the revelation of worship that explodes around the world on Sundays. For our sister churches that are watching right now, for the home groups that are watching right now, for the congregation that is at home watching right now, and us here in the house. Overwhelmingly move upon each home and individual that is hearing my voice and watching. In Jesus' name, may the healing power of God just remove sickness and disease. Cleanse the blood right now in Jesus' name. Cleanse the blood in Jesus' name. There is life in the blood. Father, provide that life now that removes every particle that is not of God. In Jesus' name. Heal our bodies. Heal our homes. Heal our nation. Heal our world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to do one more thing this morning, and I'm going to ask that you'd go ahead and just go ahead and be seated. It's so good to see you in the house of the Lord. Our visitors, we welcome you. These are some of the greatest people in the world that attend Valley Community Church. And avail yourself, amen. Avail yourself to them because their heart is for God. Our heart is for God. But I want to do something. If everyone could just close your eyes, even if you're watching online, just go ahead and close your eyes. And I just want to say something to everyone. During this Thanksgiving season, Terry and I are so grateful to you. I don't believe God has connected us by accident. But he joined us together for a purpose, especially today. You make Terry and I a better people because of who you are. Today I want you to recognize how special you are in the kingdom of God. I pray this week you will recognize the importance of spending that unique time with your family. Some of you will be involved in things that break your heart. Some of you will be involved in things that overwhelm you with joy. But I want you to recognize that you are loved by God and that you are never alone because I personally am grateful for you. Father, in Jesus' name, allow those words to pierce deep, because they are spiritual words coming from my spirit, which has overwhelmed my heart towards people. I pray that the words would pierce every hurt, any bitterness, any anger, and that it would absolutely destroy any work of the enemy. I pray for divine health. I pray for divine revelation in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you all and appreciate you being here. All that watch online, listen to the podcast. Also, I want to say this week, eat plenty of food. Enjoy football or whatever you do. Just have a great time. And don't forget about tonight coming together. This is where we celebrate and in worship. We celebrate with water baptism. We celebrate with a word from the Lord, with communion, with hot chocolate, with pies and all things. Psalm 34:1 says, basically telling us, I won't repeat it, I'm going to just tell you. It tells me gratitude is very important to the Lord, which produces a giving of thanks. So we began a series a couple weeks ago, Becoming the Better You. And again, remember, we're not, and I do this, we're not pointing our finger down at anybody. We're not talking down on anybody. But we're looking at specific things that becomes revelation, and we become a people that act upon these specific things that create God's plan in your life and in my life. And becoming a better you, my title today is the priority of people. I plan this message on this day because from now on through the holidays, we are going to be around a lot of people. And I want you to be stirred in your heart what God has stirred in me for decades. And I'm going to give you a revelation today that God gave me back in 1982 when I graduated from Life Pacific and when I was being prayed for in my licensing. And then even when I was prayed for, God additionally added a prophetic word when my wife and I were ordained. And this is a passion of mine. But the reason why it's a passion of mine is because it's a passion of God's. And it's a passion for the lost and for the loss of them coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and becoming born again. It is something every day that I think about, that in every situation I'm in, I am looking out for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me. Matter of fact, yesterday I had a privilege of having breakfast with a brother from the church here, and it was early in the morning, and we were talking about some specific things about the Lord, and there were two gentlemen sitting in the next area to eat their meal, and I was literally told by the Holy Spirit, the guys are listening to our conversation. They literally didn't talk to each other, very little, but because they were both sitting and eating and listening to our conversation. So my conversation with my brother was very pertinent to what we were talking about, but also I was adding additional things so that they would hear it. Because everywhere I go, I have a passion for people to be healed and saved, to be restored in their life, to be able to, everything that I do, every situation, whether the situation's bad or good, I have a priority of people. Now, I used this quite a few years ago, and I'll use it again. because being here for many years, sometimes I may repeat myself, and I think it's okay because it brings you to the thought I want you to think of. Remember the country singer Willie Nelson? And he has that famous song, Always on My Mind. So let me ask you, if our cameramen or women would take the camera off the tripod and begin walking down the aisles, the balcony downstairs, and then they would come close to you and do a close-up on you, and you're thinking they're looking at your face, but actually we have some technical abilities of being able to screen what you're thinking in your mind. And so as you are sitting there on the screen, your thoughts are appearing on the screen. And some of you are going, oh, Lord, help me. Father, forgive me for my sin. What are you thinking about? What's on your mind? Again, we don't have that technology yet, but I'm looking for it. Some of you would be your family because of what's going on in your lives. Maybe it's on your business and there's some major decisions that you need to make. And so that maybe fear or that doubt would appear to us. Maybe your health, maybe your marriage, your school. So if we pointed a camera at Jesus and his thoughts would come on the screen, I believe what we would see and what would come on the screen is his love for people. You and I go through many seasons and scenarios in our life, but there are things that stick in your minds. That's always on your mind. Certain things that are always on your mind. Because everywhere that Jesus went, and I have learned everywhere that I go, what's on my mind is people. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe we need to be the same way. So today, if it's not already, my goal is to change your mind, causing people or those that are lost, those that are searching for something, they would always be on your mind. In Mark chapter 6, if you would look at that on the screen or flip on your tablet or open your Bible, it says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw many people and was moved with compassion towards them. Because they were as, listen to this, as sheep not having a shepherd, no direction. And then he began to teach them many things regarding that what was on his mind, the compassion. When I speak to other pastors, leaders, and I don't do that as often now, but when I was a supervisor and I always had conferences and gatherings with pastors only, I would always tell them my life purpose is to teach God's word. But I want you to understand this. The reason I love to teach God's word, and I do, is because I love God's people. The background of why I do what I do is not for a salary, even though I get a salary. If I needed to, I'd go find a job and work so I could continue teaching the Word of God. Because it's not really that I love teaching, it's that I love teaching because it helps people, because it helps you. Everybody watching online, it helps you. Speaking of Jesus, even on the most difficult day on the cross, Jesus had people on his mind. I want to remind you of some things, and I want you to look at this. I want you to really see that wherever you're at in life, whatever's going on in your heart, whatever struggle, whatever tribulation, whatever joy you have, there should never be a time that your heart is not overwhelmed with God's heart regarding people. Let me picture it with you. Jesus on the cross. He had his mother on his mind. He told John, today, Mary is your mother. He was being nailed on the cross, the pain that he was suffering through, but he was concerned about his mom. Jesus had the thief on the cross. He had one that was denying Christ, rejecting him, and then they had the other that said, please don't forget me. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. You're on my mind. He was a thief. How about the famous ask of the Father on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let me just say it this way. Father, forgive the people because they don't know what they're doing. Thinking of the other murderer and thief that had rejected, he was still praying for him moments before his death. His whole life was about people. When he was a child and he went off and was doing ministry per se, he was acting upon his heart because he had the heart of the Father. And he told his mom, Mom, don't you know I'm about doing the Father's business? It's about people. So let me give you 3 points, as I normally do. And the first reason is why Jesus had people on his heart is Jesus knew the heart of the Father. He knew that was the Father's heart. Jesus knew the Father's heart better than anybody. Everywhere he went, he was trying to reach people. Some might say, well, shouldn't we be all about God? Well, of course. It always amazes me, not here, but in religious church, is we become nitpicky, all right? We, you know, one word or two words or 5 words or whatever, and then we sway to our opinions instead of listening to what the Holy Spirit, not Gary, but the Holy Spirit is saying to me about his heart for the day. I'm going to do a series in March of next year, and I'm basically the form of that series, I'm working on it now, is what is God's word for you today? What is God saying for you today? I don't know, I'm mad. What is God's word saying to you today? When you got up in the morning, what is God, the Father, through the Holy Spirit, asking of you today? And that's what I'm really asking of you is, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you about this message, knowing, and by the way, we gave you that flyer of all the great things that are happening through the holidays. What is God asking of you during this time? There's so many things that we do. We're so busy. There's so many things that we face, finances, all kinds of things. What is God asking of you? Sure, we should all be about God. But if we know God's heart, then we should be all about what that is. And that's what I'm trying to show you. That every time Jesus thought that the Pharisee was placing a higher value on something rather than someone, He would correct them. They placed a high value on the law. And then Jesus says, people were not made for the law. Remember, people weren't made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for the people. Everything that you read in the Old Testament, New Testament is for people in knowing the heart of God. So stay with me now. Jesus was always trying to bring them back to the Father's heart. Becoming the better me is not pointing the finger at all my mistakes and all the things that I'm doing wrong or even doing right. Where pride comes in is literally just sitting back and relaxing and saying, what are my thoughts? That camera comes on my head. What's on the screen? What's my main thought? What's my main concern in life? Now, throughout the Word of God, you'll see it. One time, Jesus was denied passage through Samaria. And what did the disciples say? They put the camera on their head, and the thought came out, do you want us to call fire down from heaven and kill them all? Because they denied you. Here's the essence in how Jesus responded to them. He said, you don't really know the heart of my Father, do you? You don't really know how much everything he does is for people. Why the things that are stated in Scripture that sometimes are preached in a strong way, which should be, because Jesus did the same thing when they got misaligned, and it's not about people, it's about themselves or about what they want. How about the prodigal son story? It's a famous parable. But when I taught on this, remember I told you that the prodigal story is actually one part or one third of a big parable or big picture that was being taught. The lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. So let me read to you again, as I did in that series, Luke 15, verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear Jesus. Notice, tax collectors and sinners, the worst of the worst. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners. Bottom line, he receives people and he actually sits down and eats with them. It never bothered Jesus and what kind of people they were. He was just interested in them because the heart of the Father is people. So his heart was people. Let's go on, verse 3. So he spoke this parable to them. Again, it's a three-part parable. Basically, Jesus was saying, with all your learning, he's telling them here, you don't have a clue about the Father's heart. I'm here for people. It's not all about your rules and regulations, even though many rules and regulations are good. But Jesus tells them about the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. But you know what the conclusion of all the stories were? That they all rejoice because they found what they were looking for. Here it is. They found people and they got their answer. That's what you're all about. That's what I'm all about. And the gentleman is here that I had breakfast with, and he would tell you also, these two were big old burly guys. I mean, they're the kind that they got up, they were sitting there, and they walked out the exit door that no one walked out. That one for the employees, basically, when they're closing shop. And I was joking with the waitress because she was close by. I said, did they pay or did they run out? And then I thought, they're bigger than me. I wasn't going to chase them down anyways. You know, free food. No, they paid. But see, Jesus even says this straight out. To everyone who wants to listen to me, because some people don't want to listen to that because they don't understand God's heart, his heart regarding people. And so there are a lot of people that are in counseling, which counseling is good if it leads them to Christ, but they're angry and they're bitter. And they're frustrated with life. They hate their job. They hate their home. They hate their apartment. They don't like their car. Nothing's happy for them. And they take it out on people because they're not recognizing the Father's heart. But let me tell you this. All of heaven rejoices over one person that repents. That's how important. In the holiday season, all year round, but especially now, that we understand people are important. See, it's not just we are all about people. We need to dial it down. We are all about every person. Because, you know, some people say, well, I'm not standing on a platform speaking to many. That's okay. That's okay. There's one person God put you around. That one person matters. And how many times have we seen the reality, and I brought this to you, of all the men who thought they were failing in their ministry, but all through the process of each person finding one person, getting them born again, and moving on and on and on, then it came to a place that every one of them that they led to the Lord did great things for the kingdom of God. And then the last person I gave you was Billy Graham. A guy who thought he was failing, was ready to quit. But he ministers to one young boy. And his name was Billy Graham. And because of his obedience of setting up a tent back then, and seeing the things of God and seeing no one show up, but this boy shows up, leads him to the Lord, and this man is a part of leading millions to the Lord. Because one person mattered. Got up in the morning, put up a tent, had no one to help him. And he did everything. And he did that because of his obedience. Because it was about people and the lost, that Billy Graham received Jesus, and we see today the result of that. It's about every person. In every area of your life, prioritize the person. Sometimes I'll even be in crowds and someone is talking to me. And I just like back when I was a pitcher, you'd have everybody screaming and yelling, all the noise and everything, and I'd focus on the catcher's mitt. Because that's what I was supposed to do. And when I'm with people in a crowd and there's one person, I get a little bit closer, not in their space, okay, we know them today, not in their space, and I focus on the one person. I'm not like, I won't touch that with a 10-foot pole. So in every area of your life, prioritize the person, because that's what God does. Did you know that God prioritizes you? When you call upon him, he'll answer you. We can be so involved in an event that we don't realize the Holy Spirit is leading you to one person. The event can be so huge and exciting, but there's a person that God is leading you to. That's what I do everywhere I go. I'm like, you know, beep, 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 beep. And sometimes it's like, beep, beep. Okay, sometimes it's beep, 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 you know. And I'm after a person. And I make sure that I impact that person. Because that's the Father's heart. Some of you have a hard time thinking God loves you because you think you've messed up too much. You know why God loves you? Because God is loving. The Father just loves. You can't get God not to love you. I'm sorry. You might be really good at messing up, but you can't mess that up with God because God's love. You're important today. That's why when I said from Terry and I, during this holiday season, going into Thanksgiving, I'm so grateful for you. I'm grateful for my friends. I'm grateful for so many that I'm talking to that are from other states and different places. And it's just exciting. And the reason why it's exciting is because I believe years ago, beginning in 1982, I got the heart of God. It's about people. It's not about fame, riches. It's not about prestige. It's not about who knows me. It's not about position. It's about people. I want you to know and understand that the reason why Jesus was the way he was with people is that he knew that the Father loved people. Here's the second reason. Jesus knew the reality of eternity. Jesus knew the reality of eternity. Jesus knew with the reality of eternity better than anyone else on this earth. He said things like this, Matthew 25:46, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Luke 16:23 from the Message Bible. "In hell and in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham in the distance and Lazarus on his lap." Did you know that Abraham in the Bible was a real person that lived? Did you know that Lazarus was real also and he lived on this earth? Jesus says, "I saw them in Abraham's bosom from hell." Jesus walked around and talked about an impending eternal destination and judgment for every person. He talked about an eternity with God and an eternity without God. Listen very closely to this. If I believed eternity like Jesus did, it would cause me to talk differently with my neighbors and those that I meet. It would totally turn around my thoughts towards that neighbor that doesn't cut the grass. Some of you have those, don't you? We need to be reminded many are going to be separated from God for eternity. No houses, no bank accounts, no property make it to the other side. There is only one thing that makes it to the other side, and that's people. It's about people. Did you know that people last forever? Jesus knew this, and it caused him to change his travel plans. Anybody hear the voice of the Lord and you were going to plan to do something and you went and did something else and you found that God used you to minister to someone? I see it all the time. Jesus went through Samaria to talk to the woman who was married 5 times. It caused Jesus to tell the rich young ruler the truth. It caused Jesus to weep over a city. The understanding of eternity. Eternity with God and eternity without God. Because he knew eternity is on its way for everybody. Did you know when you give, God takes what we give to help people? So here's a question. You still with me? All right, you're real quiet. Must have been a late football game last night. Or someone lost. Anyways, how much money have you sent ahead? We're talking about eternity. Jesus said to store up treasure into heaven. Because we only think about bank accounts, retirement accounts. What about serving in church? Did you know that's an account? What does your praying account look like? Is it full? Is it prosperous? How about your loving others account look like? How about what does your witnessing account look like? This is what I think about all the time. What does my leading people to Christ account look like? I don't have some type of thing where I put marks, how many. I don't do that. That's very prideful. But how many people will be in heaven because we personally led them to Christ? Or we watered or planted a seed? How many people? Jesus said things like this. Go out and compel them to come in. How many people have we invited to church this past year? And then he says, I'm going to send you out as sheep among wolves. How many non-believers, I didn't say non-believers you hang out with and party with, how many non-believers do you relate to? How many people who are not serving God, not going to church, or do you stray away from them? And this is what Jesus is asking. And again, he's not doing this. He's just saying, I want you to know the Father's heart. You know, you're going to hear me next year again in another series talk about this. Did you know that liars lie? Did you know that? If they're a liar, did you know they're going to lie? Did you know that people who steal, steal? I was out with my wife and granddaughter, and it was, you know, celebrating her birthday, and we were in a store, and I'm doing the same thing. Lord, ding, 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 you know, looking for what do I need to say, who do I need to talk to, and waiting on them shopping. And all of a sudden, I see this one lady, she's probably in her early 20s, and another guy probably in his late teens. She's walking kind of fast this way. She's got a big heavy coat on. It's cold outside, right? You're right. And he's walking here, same thing, big coat, all that stuff. And they walk through the door, and the door goes, beep, 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 beep. And the manager's way in the back, and the people are busy, and no one acts on it. And you see them go to their car. And I think they left their car running, because the moment they got in the car, they took off. The manager walked up. I said, I think they got some free stuff, didn't they? He said, yeah. And he said, what losers. And I want to say, yeah, they are. But I didn't say that. I said, well, one day maybe they'll meet God. He looked at me. He said, yeah, maybe. You know, and I walked away. I didn't make anything of it. But see, this is When you have the heart of the Father regarding people, then this is what I really felt bad for those two. Because I know what Scripture says about stuff like that. I don't wish it on them, but it breaks my heart. When I ran youth camps, I would advertise different sports, game nights, campfire nights, pizza, s'mores, all the different things in the advertisement. Why do we do this? Because they would come and we would tell them there really is a heaven and there really is a hell. See, I want you to understand is we get to a place, and I see it in my own life sometimes, that I get so busy with church, I get so busy with Christendom, that I get so busy judging what people are teaching, what people are saying, and all the different things, because this is what I believe. And I forget that all of those people, God's for them. God wants me to tell them who God is. And what did we start with? You know why God can't stop loving you? Because God is love. It never changes. No matter who it is on this earth, God loves them. Jesus had people on his mind everywhere he went. Here's the third reason, and I'll close with this. The third, I think, is really interesting, and this is where I go. I don't know if it's because of my younger years of being an athlete and being captains of teams and leading in that area, now legend in my own mind, but here's the third point. Jesus knew the potential of people. When I became born again, his thoughts didn't change. He knew my potential because he gave it to me. God knows your potential. God is the one that gifted you. He loved you so much. He knew you in your mother's womb. Your call happened when the foundation of this world was created. You can't mess that up. God, it's always there. His love. And he knows your potential. Even though you've gone the other direction, he's always willing and able to receive you back. He sent his own son to die on the cross so that your sins would be forgiven and the penalty of your sin no longer would take you away from him. There's sometimes after doing, I'll say it about myself, doing dumb stuff when I was younger, I had to work hard to get through that. That's life. But here's the reality. Your potential is always there when you give it to the Lord. And you understand your purpose. And because of that, then you start loving others and being that blessing. Being that blessing. Luke 19:5, speaking of the potential of people. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Notice that? Joyfully. When they saw it, they are the ones who didn't like sinners. They all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Did you know in today's terms, Jesus was radically inclusive? Radically. The rich, the poor, the well-known, the forgotten, the hurting, the healing, the black, the white, the brown, different races, different tribes, different nations, different ethnicities. Jesus included everybody, says, I put in you a potential. And you're going the wrong way, you're going the different way, but come back. That potential never, ever, ever changes. So if you think that you failed, you think that you've done things, and you might see, have experience in this life, failure, rejection, hurt, you become bitter, you've said things, you've done things that you regret later, never changes the potential you have, that God would cause you to rise up and do great things for the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter where a person comes from or what they have gone through. We need to see everybody as Jesus sees them. Yeah, we don't agree with the lifestyle, sure. But there's potential for them to turn it around. That's the person that Jesus died for. Let me say it this way. We are the persons that Jesus died for. Wherever you were at, you are accepted by Christ where you were at. Verse 8, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. Notice what he does. This is the world thinking. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Because the world thinks I'm bad because I'm this type of person. But who else but Jesus could have seen the generosity in a greedy person? Speaking of Zacchaeus. Yeah, he was greedy. He did the things he did so he could get, and so people could see how wonderful he was. And everyone saw him greedy instead, but Jesus saw him generous. Jesus saw that potential. He thought, if this person can meet me and know my Father's heart, he will go from greedy to generosity. He will go from greed to becoming generous. See, who else could see purity in a prostitute? Jesus did that with Mary Magdalene. Who else could have seen boldness in a bumbling disciple named Peter? Here's a real good question. Who else could see real potential in you? Jesus does. I do. I see it. So many times, you know, I have conversations with people around all the years of ministry. But Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I see your gift. You even use the gift that God gave you in your dirty deed. But it's still there. I see it. Many of you have seen when we work together on different things, and I say, what do you think? Well, I'd like to, great, go for it. Well, how do you want? You're gifted, go for it. Amen. And you know, people say, what type of leadership is that? You need to, step one, step two. Yeah, that's my type A personality, but I don't do that. I learned that a long time ago, because why? It's about people. And it's about creating an atmosphere for that person's potential to explode. Releasing them to who God made them to be, but teaching them the heart of the Father. The reason why you're so good at what you do is there's other people or a person that God wants you to touch in your life. Oh, man. I mean, this is so real. See, all things are possible with this person, with my power, Jesus said. It doesn't matter, again, what background they're from or what they've been through or even the bondage that they're in at that moment. Jesus says, with my power, there is no limit for you. Jesus saw potential in everyone. Jesus treated people differently than any other leader of the day. Think about it. God's Son came to earth, and the sinners wanted to hang out with him. And the religious people didn't. I'm just going to have to give you a little secret. I learned that a long time ago. I saw that a long time ago. I don't live my life so that everybody in the church can love me. I don't. I live my life to love every person in the congregation. I live my life to love God with all my heart and soul. I live my life to hear the voice of God leading me to a person or persons and showing them Christ in my life. That's how I live. You know, I get people coming up to me, you know, hi, you're a pastor? Well, you wouldn't like me. Okay. A couple people I mess with, you know me. Yeah, you're probably right. No, I turn around and said, heck no. So tell me your story. Where you been? Who are you? And then I listen to their life. And you know what happens? It always gets to, I used to go to church. And you know what I say to them? I used to go to church too. Now I've learned how to be church. How to be the church. Amen? That's what I want to see God do in 2026. Oh, there's so much God's going to do. Pastor Dan, he was so right on. Pastor Ryan and the things that he taught when he taught while I was on vacation, these guys are so right on what God's doing, what's happening in this church. See, the statistic that I don't want us a part of is this. The longer you are saved, the less you witness. Should be turned around. The longer you are saved, the more you want to witness. So let me close with just a few more words here and a little story. I was at a gas station years ago, and it was on the East Coast, and the gas was a lot cheaper over there. And I was gassing up. I thought, you know what? I'm going to get a drink because I was on a trip. I was heading over to a church to speak. And I went and I got a drink, and in front of me was this young couple, and they were paying for their gas, $2.11. I still remember that amount, $2.11. There was no one behind me. I looked around because my life's about people. I would have pulled them aside. There was no one there, so I said to them, can I buy a full tank of gas for you? Can I just go ahead and pay for a full tank of gas? And they looked at each other. They said, well, no. I said, please allow me to do that. So I handed the cashier a $50 bill. So they went out and they gassed up, and the clerk looked at me like, whoa. But when I walked out, I was in there and they gassed up. I was done and I was talking to the owner, and I think it was like $38 or whatever, and I got the change. And I walked out and I walked to them and I said, hey, I just want you to know that I've been where you've been. I want you to know there's nothing more embarrassing to think that I don't have anything to provide. But I've been there. And I want to do this for you. And I gave him a $100 bill. Now, I wasn't rich. I still aren't. They asked me why I'm doing this. I told them, years ago, gave my life to Jesus And he changed my life and he blessed me. Matter of fact, he died for my sins. And today I live freely in this world without sin because of him. Oh, I make mistakes. But I live without sin because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, it's not about me. This is about God leading me to give you this because he wants to show you that he loves you. And he'll do anything you need because you have great potential. They both started crying and they hugged me and they received the Lord right there. Yeah. Amen. So don't ask me where I gas up, okay? So. That's the heart of God. And there are times I'm not led of the Lord to do things. The guy walked up and said, hey, you know, I'm kind of down and out. He's like 20 years old and dressed real nice, had a halfway decent car, almost brand new. I'm down and out. Do you have any gas money? And I said, no. Not because of the new car or whatever, but I was led of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit told me this. I'm working with him right now. Don't give him anything. I'm taking him through a process. Don't give him anything. You know, because the first thing, what kind of Christian are you? You know, I mean, it's like George Jetson. I mean, remember George Jetson? Beginning of that, handing out money, and he ends up with nothing, right? See, that's not God's heart. You have great potential to do great things, to give liberally, but be led of the Holy Spirit. The heart of God, it's about people. And I want you to understand, it'll help you go through the challenges of Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's season. Because I know that some of you have family that are the most wonderful family in the world. Except one or two or five. And there's struggle and just, you know. But when you understand the heart of God, it's about people. They don't run my life. People don't run my life. The Holy Spirit runs my life. But I am here to serve people. And I promise you, and I'm going to say it, not with a bragging or anything, and then we're done. But I promise you, I have put away a lot for eternity. Every day of my life. Even having the right thought, it's about people, has established such a huge account in heaven for me. Not because I'm any better than you, but I've made a decision. The potential God gave me, I'm going to use it with everything I have. Everywhere I go, everything that I do. I do that with my marriage. I do it with my family. I do everything I can to set them up for success. It's not about money. It's not about things. Setting up for success. So that if they make the right choice in the heart of the Father, they will succeed too. As your pastor, I do everything I can in teaching. And the way I am with you, I like to joke around, you know me, okay? And I want you to recognize something so huge that is going right now in this world. as God is revealing this truth. This truth encompasses almost every doctrinal issue in your life. Every doctrinal truth that's in the Word, this topic right here will change everything. From your faith to believing for healing, everything is because it's no longer about you. Now, it's about others or that one person. Amen? Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. As you're standing, let me finish with this verse, 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name, overwhelmingly excited about our future because we know your heart regarding us and other people. Move in our hearts. If there's any change that needs to be made, let us change this morning. And as we gather together as family, because it's about other people this evening, I proclaim an anointing that surpasses everything we've experienced because we've chosen your heart regarding others. Overwhelm Pastor Angel and the Spanish church in their service today. Let this heart explode in every service we have. Blessings upon our homes. Blessings upon our businesses, our jobs. Blessings upon our marriages. Blessings upon our relationships. Blessings upon every avenue of our life. Overwhelm us with this truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you all. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.